All right, time to get our health in order today. And, of course, Dennis Stewart, host of Health Naturally, joining us. G'day, mate. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Mark. How are you?
Excellent. We missed you last week.
Look, I thought I'd take advantage of the potential of a long weekend.
A four-day long weekend. That's not a bad idea.
The rest of the Commonwealth did it.
Okay. I didn't. I was here. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Now, Dennis, today you'd like to take a look at the possibility of medicinal herbs and how they may help with cognitive activities, particularly things like memory, concentration, because we hear a lot about Alzheimer's and dementia these days, but also at the other end of the scale, school children struggling with concentration, etc.
Look, it's a fascinating topic. With Alzheimer's, for instance, or dementia, a cognitive decline amongst the elderly, that seems to be an accelerating phenomenon, probably to do with the increased lifespan that we're all experiencing. And interestingly, with children, there seems to be an epidemic function in the classroom where teachers complain. Concentration skills. These are not necessarily delinquents, Mark. They're in taking up the information, even concentrating on the information, even memorising the information. Both these areas, Vince, as you would expect me to be, as many of my listeners would be, all of natural medication has a very important part to play. And I have demonstrated the usefulness of a spectrum of herbs in treating illness. And interestingly also, I have had considerable experience and success in helping kids perform better in the classroom, whose memory seems to have improved, whose concentration certainly has improved, as evidenced by some of the feedback from their school teachers.
Time to fire up the phone with Dennis Stewart at Health Naturally this afternoon. First one today, g'day Sue at Lambton. You have a gallstone question for Dennis today, Sue.
I do. My husband recently had a gallstone attack and went to hospital and then had ultrasound a week or so later, Dennis, and they found that there was three gallstones still there. He had passed one that was why the episode earlier. And he's just wondering whether or not, what he can do to, get rid of what's there painlessly would be really nice. And he takes Rutin, 500 milligrams, two of those a day, aspirin, astragalus, Panax ginseng, and his cholesterol is about 7.4.
Okay.
And so
what is his,
can he do?
What has his medical managers said about his situation, Sue?
They said that the GP spoke about going on statins, and we certainly we have an opinion about statins that probably going from what you've said. I think the GP might say to reduce his cholesterol, which in turn will help his gallstones, but we're only assuming that.
But there was no follow-up recommendations about the gallstones, or was it concluded that because he'd only had a single attack and the gallstones were few and maybe not too large, that it wasn't recommended to undergo a surgical procedure? Am I interpreting that correct?
No, he did. I think he did bring that up,
okay.
But my husband wasn't keen to go down that track as a first option.
Okay. Look, many, many people have gallstones and never know that they have them. That's good. So the presence of gallstones doesn't necessarily mean ongoing episodes of what we call cholecystitis.
Yeah.
I have a friend who has a very large gallstone, which has been there ever since we've known her, which is over 20 or 30 years. Now, that's not to say that I'm opposed to the modern surgical management for gallstones, and what your husband probably knows is that the modern technique using keyhole surgery is, in my opinion, miles in front of the older surgical procedures. And if this were a problem of an ongoing episode of cholecystitis, I would think that he should seriously consider the keyhole procedure. However, if there is no great urgency about this, and only your doctor can confirm my thoughts on this, but if there's no great urgency about this, a couple of things that one can do. First of all, there are a very, very useful and well-proven bracket of herbs that are called up as preventative agents for episodes of cholecystitis. And one of the best ones is a famous American herb called fringe tree. Now, it's not something that you would purchase over the counter. You'd probably have to go to my rooms at New Lambton or another herbalist rooms to get an extract of fringe tree, which if taken even in moderate, low dosages, would be a useful prophylactic device either on its own or in conjunction with other remedies used in the past very successfully, herbs like dandelion, for instance, and a herb like barberry, for instance. They would be favourites, and, of course, the herb greater celandine. Now, what I'm saying here is the leading one, in my opinion, would be fringe tree, but if one wanted to take an enhancement of that, those other herbs could be put together from a dispensary and taken in a low dose, probably 2 to 5 mils daily, and to clear, if you like, any debris or inflammatory activity from inside the gallbladder, that mightn't be a bad way to go. However, interestingly, where you look at Mediterranean countries, where the eating and the taking of olive oil and olive oil products is part and parcel of their lifestyle, you don't get as much evidence of gallbladder distress as what we do in Anglo cultures. And older herbalists would have recommended that the regular, serious taking of olive oil is a useful prophylactic device to keep the bile flowing, to keep inflammation at bay, and even to lessen the likelihood of the gallbladder going back into spasm. I'm a great proponent of olive oil, as you probably know, and I don't think as Anglos we take enough on it. I recommend people to take 30 mils of olive oil daily, and that gives a very, very healthy effect on the whole gastrointestinal tract and has a clearing effect to some extent on the gallbladder.
I don't use any other oil other than olive oil.
There you go.
And
there
the
you
other
go.
Thing that Dr. Google has brought up is about apple cider vinegar.
Look, I'm not opposed to apple cider vinegar, but it's, in my opinion, nowhere near as specific as the herbs called up in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia, which are herbs used in the English tradition, the Western herbal medicine system, and I've prescribed them over my 40 years of practice, and they never let me down. I'm so fond of the herb fringe tree that I actually purchased a young fringe tree from a tree, if you like to call it, a tree shop in the New England region, and brought it back in my, and it sits in my backyard. And each year flowers. Look, there's a few helps for you. Fringe tree taken preventatively and, say, 30 mils of olive oil taken regularly. You could talk to your doctor about cholesterol. I'm not a great fan of some of the modern approaches, but there may be a case for it in his situation.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Sue. G'day, Diane at Mayfield. Diane, there's a pneumonia question from you today.
Good morning.
Hello, Diane.
I have my second bout of pneumonia at the moment.
Yes.
The first time it lasted 6 to 7 weeks.
Oh,
and
dear.
This time I'm probably going into my third week.
Yes.
And I'm a relatively healthy person.
Yes.
But the breathlessness and the fatigue is what's really bothering me at the moment.
It's virally based, is it? Are you on antibiotics or steroid?
I am on. I've been on double antibiotics and I'm finished them now.
Are you on any prednisone or anything like that?
I'm not on anything else. I just thought maybe you could advise some sort of supplement to.
Well, look, I can make a good recommendation here because it just seems presently there is a fair incidence of pneumonia. And did you have COVID?
I have had lots of COVID with hardly any symptoms. That was a while ago.
Okay. Look, what I'd be suggesting is that you look at it from the point of view of now addressing your recovery and look at the what I call the support or enhancement of your immune system. And in my opinion, the preparation that I introduced into this country 30 years ago, the Astragalus 8 liquid preparation.
Oh, I did take one bottle of that.
Yeah, well, you should still be on it. If you were taking that at 5 mils twice daily, I'd be most surprised if that didn't encourage and enhance improvement and lessen the reassertion of it. What I would also say is for the cough and the lingering symptoms of pneumonia, it would be useful if you were to get hold of some Manuka honey and take a dessert spoonful of it in warm water a couple of times a day. Honey is still an underestimated therapeutic entity. Fortunately, and largely as a result of my promotion and development of honey products over my career, is taken a lot more seriously today than it was when I started talking about it in this town over 40 years ago. Honey has natural antimicrobial properties, antibiotic properties, and is one of the most soothing anti-cough preparations, even been shown to be competitive with some pharmaceuticals. The Astragalus 8, 5 mils BD or twice daily of the liquid formula, and some Manuka honey preferably, although ordinary pure honey is arguably just as good. A good dollop, at least a dessert spoonful in warm water, a couple of times a day. I think that's a good way of getting you on your feet. And you've probably heard me say on this program increasingly the use of cod liver oil with its high level of vitamin A. It doesn't hurt to see that old-fashioned respiratory remedy that was popular years and years ago as an agent to help the respiratory system resist infection. Get onto a bit of cod liver oil, and I say that to a lot of my listeners. Nasty as it might sound, it was good enough for me when I was a kid. It's good enough for me now as an adult.
Best of luck, Diane. A little bit, I know we're going to get to Christine and Barry. We'll get to you both next with the King of the Bumblebees, Dennis Stewart, and Health Naturally at 2NURFM. Christine from Thornton. G'day, Christine. You have a itchy skin dilemma for Dennis to warm up on.
Yes, I have.
Hello, Christine.
Hello, Mr. Dennis.
Just before we move on, Christine, if you've got us on speakerphone, you're going to need to take that off, okay?
Okay.
All right, so we're going to come back to you in just a little bit there and move on. G'day, Barry at Rutherford. Barry, you have a vertigo question for Dennis today.
Yes, I do. About 18 months ago, I came out of hospital from having a kidney lasered.
Yes.
And from then on, I couldn't walk a straight line.
Dear.
I went to the doctor and diagnosed with vertigo and was given a few tablets to take, which didn't do any good. Then also, I was told to lay on the bed with your head tipped over the edge and bend it from side to side. Well, I'd done that for 10 minutes twice a day, and for 3 months there was no improvement. So then I'd done it, started to doing it a bit longer, but then I got pains in the neck, so I must have been overdoing it. Okay. So I stopped doing it then.
Okay.
Now, and somebody said, oh, don't take salt, so I stopped taking salt. But I still got the vertigo and it doesn't seem to want to go away.
Barry, have you discussed what happened as a result of the medical procedure that you had? Any explanation of how this has come about?
No, the specialist that removed the stone from my kidney said that it might take a year before it'll disappear. He said, we don't know much about vertigo at this stage, but hopefully it will go away.
Okay. Well, look, who am I to intrude here where your specialist has given that comment? But being a herbalist, I'm obliged to say that a herb that has given me good results for these non-specific conditions such as vertigo is the herb that I've mentioned occasionally on the program known as wood betony.
Wood verbena meat.
Yes, it's an English herb, and professional herbalists, well, we're all taught its virtues. It's a distinctly a herb of English origin, and some of the great English herbalists that were my mentors had great regard for it. And in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia, which you've probably heard me say is the Bible of modern herbal medicine, wood betony, or betonica, as it's botanically known, is called up for vertigo, and I have prescribed it for some of these weird conditions that go under the name of vertigo. And in many cases, it has given some useful results. Now, I'm not saying with certainty that it will do that. The herb is inexpensive. You will probably have to go to a professional herbalist. You would get it from Bowen's up in Cessnock or my rooms down here. But
wood betony.
Wood betony. Extract of wood betony. And while you're there, get a printout on the herb to see how it's called up.
Okay, thank you so much, Barry. Good afternoon, Linda from Mayfield. Linda, you're on with Dennis right now.
Dennis.
Hello, Linda. How are you?
All right, thank you.
That's good. How can we help you, Linda?
Well, I've got peripheral neuropathy.
That's
from
a nasty
chemo.
Yeah. How long have you been battling with it?
A few months.
Yeah.
Not too long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's from chemo, so there's a lot of people in this boat.
Yeah, yeah. Have you...
There's not much information.
I know.
Nobody gets sent to a specialist or anything about it.
Yes.
Just
it's,
put up with it kind of thing.
Nerve damage. Look, there is no silver bullet for this, even in my system of medicine, but let me ask you a few questions. Are you experience any pain or discomfort with it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of pain.
Okay. This may explain why recently a patient of mine that saw me at New Lambton surprised me when she said that her peripheral neuropathy and the discomfort associated with it had considerably improved when she was taking oral supplements of cayenne. Now, cayenne, remember, is chili powder, but she was taking it in an encapsulated form and claimed that it was giving considerably good results. Now, that surprised me because we know that that particular herb has a valiant effect on peripheral circulatory problems, but neurological problems, there's not a lot of evidence to support what she was saying. But interestingly, when I thought about it, there may be a connection between the chemistry of cayenne. Cayenne has a particular active principle in it, and that active principle does have some useful analgesic characteristics, which may have, interestingly, had an effect here when it was taken in this particular form. I'm not promising anything, but as a result of that case, I'm obliged to mention it to you. The good thing about it is capsules of cayenne, so to speak, dirt cheap, and you can get them from a good health food store or pharmacy. I would be recommending that you use a capsule of cayenne powder on a daily basis in an encapsulated form. It won't necessarily give you any discomfort when you're taking it. It's something that might be worthwhile.
Russell and Morpeth, mate, thanks so much for hanging on. It's been a bit of a wait there, but you do have a question in and around PTSD, anxiety, et cetera, for Dennis today. What's the story, Russell?
Yeah, Dennis, I've got long-term PTSD, anxiety and depression from the Vietnam War.
Yes.
And I've been on, like, antidepressants.
Yes.
I take them for a while and I get all these side effects, so I go off them. Now, someone recently has told me about ashwagandha. Could you say a few words, please, about the use of that?
Okay. I know a lot about ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is Botanus omniferum. It's an Ayurvedic remedy. That means it comes from the Indian tradition, where it has multiple uses. Interestingly, its main use in Ayurvedic medicine is as a fertility-inducing medication. So, direct bearing on your case, but let me just say this. It has become popular in Western circles, largely as a result of more modern research on it. It has become useful as a mild anti-anxiety and anti-depressional agent. And I'm encouraged to vouch for that because I have used some of the modern preparations of it with considerably good results, again, depending upon the severity of your condition. However, it is something that, in my opinion, could be worthwhile trying, albeit I would say that for many years I have used in liquid form a combination of the herb kava, which is a South Pacific herb, and the herb hypericum or St. John's wort, which is a European herb. I have put those two together in combination and have had some very good results in helping people get by without resorting to some of the pharmaceuticals which had previously given them distress. My approach here is try the ashwagandha first up. If that doesn't give you what you're looking for, and remember, with soft herbal medicines, you need to give them a fair trial before you make any conclusion. But if you don't get a result with that, move towards a combination that would have to be prescribed by a herbalist from his dispensary based on kava and St. John's wort. Now, let me just say also, I think you would be well advised to keep in contact with your medical managers. Let them know what your intentions are so that you can be governed by their advice and monitoring. But that's what I would be recommending if a patient came to me with their doctor's approval wanting help from natural medication.
This afternoon. G'day, Christine. Looks like we got you back there from Thornton. You have...
I lost Mr. Stewart.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Christine.
Yes.
And I am 85 years of age.
Well, how about that? We're just about the same age bracket, mate.
Oh, yeah. This good innings. And what it is, Mr. Stewart, is I have very, very itchy skin on my legs.
Yes.
I've been to the doctor.
Yes.
And all she prescribed for me is an ointment.
Mm-hmm.
And the ointment I've used now several times, and it does absolutely nothing.
And
so the itch is like up from my knees onto my thighs.
Yes.
And it's very, very uncomfortable as it's very itchy.
Did doctor say that it was related to your circulation?
No, she did not.
Okay. Are you on medication for anything?
Yes, I'm on medication.
Yeah. Well,
I'll
be quick here and say
I
would make a beeline to your pharmacy, let him have a look at the medications you are taking and see if there is anything in his opinion that could be contributing towards it. Secondarily, what I would say is while you're at the pharmacy, ask for some pine tassel gel. Now, pine tassel.
How do you say that?
Pine tassel. PINETARSOL.
PIN.
Pine.
E.
Yeah. TARSOL. Pine tassel. TARSOL.
TARSOL.
Now, your doctor will know it very well. I have used that preparation ever since my youth because I have periodically experienced eczema. And it has given me great results, particularly for the easing of the itch. It's a pretty harmless substance. A lot of people don't like the smell of it. I do. Ask for get the pharmacy to give you the gel, G-E-L.
So, that Mr. Is,
go on, yep.
Stewart,
yes.
It is gel, and
you get the
pint. I'm writing it down.
Yes.
And so it's burn, you said burn?
Now, pine tassel.
Pine.
Pine
Could
tassel.
You spell that?
P-I-N-E. Pine.
Pine. Got it.
Tassel. T-A-R.
D-A-R.
O-L. Your pharmacist will be able to interpret that. Get the gel, the G-E-L, that is useful for the itch. What I'd also do, however, is start to oil your system up. Start to get onto something like some capsules of either fish oil or primrose oil. So act on it proactively, but that's a good way of trying to get to the bottom of it. There must be some cause there. It might be associated with medication. It may not be, probably not. Get your pharmacy to review it. Use some pine tassel, which is pretty harmless but very effective for getting rid of the itch. It'll allow you to get a night's sleep.
Yes.
And then get some primrose oil or fish oils into your system.
And how many of those do I take?
Look, probably 3 capsules a day.
Okay.
Now try that. At least you're doing something for it.
Yes.
And it's frequently
now,
when we start
to... Can I just ask you a question?
Yes.
What I was thinking is I have very, very hot showers.
Yes.
Do you think the hot shower could...
Yes, I do. And you're yes, I believe that could be a situation because you're talking to someone who still could experience distress. If I have a particularly hot shower, I will then find that on my lower legs, I'm talking very personally here, on my lower legs, that will very frequently create an itch, which, by the way, is a transitory thing, but I know not to have very hot showers. And I use a bit of pine tarsal if the itch asserts itself. It doesn't always assert itself, but sometimes it does. And I've noticed, controversial as it may be, a hot shower tends to be an aggravating factor. I'm not suggesting in this weather you dive into a cold shower, but but have a warm shower.
No ice bath, Dennis, no ice bath. Look, Christine.
Well, I thought... Maybe this was my thought, not the doctor's.
I think you're probably thinking along the right track, Christine. Look, you become proactive, be governed by your own intuition. I say this to all my patients and clients. Use your common sense, be governed by the intuition, give it a go. You've got everything to win and nothing to lose.
Yes.
So there's a few things.
And if nothing, and all of that fails, Dennis, a nice bath would be the... Christine, give it a go, and you never know, you might give Dennis a call back in a month or so and let him know how you've gone, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Christine.
House cleaning, keeping for you first. Dennis, I know your topic's a good one. We're not going to get to it this
week. It'll have to be next week.
Next week and the week after we'll be here. Also, Lisa from Sawyer's Gully rang in. Gilco helped immensely with vertigo for her.
And that's a very good comment, and I'm glad you rang in, Lisa. I mentioned wood betony because it is very effective in that also, but there's more than one herb that's useful for vertigo, and your having mentioned ginkgo biloba is excellent comment because one of the indications for the ginkgo is vertigo. So congratulations and thank you for ringing in because vertigo is a nasty condition, and if wood betony is not as effective as it should be, give the try, this listener that rang in, give the try to ginkgo biloba.
All right, last up, Rhonda from Spears Point. Thanks so much for your patience today. You have a tinnitus question for Dennis, Rhonda.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Rhonda.
I suffer from tinnitus.
Yes.
I've also got chronic rhinosinusitis.
Yes.
And I recently saw an ENT after waiting 9 months, who told me there was nothing I could do for the tinnitus. I just had to learn to live with it. I'm just wondering, is there something I can take that's natural that can help me?
Look, I would naturally have a different view to what your ENT man has told you. I'm not in any way at all wanting to enter into a debate on it. But
no, I don't want to either.
I would be recommending a few things that are worthwhile trying, particularly where the tinnitus has been shown to be not capable of an adequate explanation. Now, a previous listener rang in about the herb ginkgo biloba.
Yep.
Now, interestingly, in the European literature, and I know a lot about this herb, I gave the first lectures on it in Australia at a Blackmore seminar probably 30 years ago, ginkgo biloba has an indication for tinnitus if it is worked for a long time taking it. Now, I can show you the European paper on it, but if you try the ginkgo, you need to take the right dosage of it and you need to be prepared to stay on it for quite a few months in order to make an assessment as to whether or not it's going to help you. But it is recommended. It is recommended by the European Health Department for this condition, as it is also indicated, as we were previously talking about, for vertigo. I would suggest you give it a go. There are a couple of European or Western herbs, but time has got away on me, but the herb golden seal, in conjunction with the herb ground ivy, in conjunction with the American herb black cohosh, is a favourite trilogy of liquid herbs prescribed by those of us from the Western herbal medicine tradition that have attempted to treat tinnitus with herbs. Try the ginkgo first. You have, if you have no indication after 3 or 4 months, consider the 3 herbs in combination I have mentioned, which would have to be procured from a consulting medical herbalist or a pharmacist that had a dispensary.
Thanks so much for that, Rhonda. And Dennis, we are out of time. The hourglass has got us.
What a pity.
All right, you have enjoy the rest of the week. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.